we go. Okay. We're nearing the end of this Unity and Diversity series, where we're trying to understand that we are all a diverse people. We're coming from three different churches to land in one. We're trying to get ourselves unified through this diversity that we have with each other and for each other. So we're getting to the end of that. Two more Sundays next week and the week after. Pastor Mariah will be preaching next Sunday. And we have baptisms. So that's a wonderful thing that we'll celebrate together. I grew up on a farm in Johnstown, Ohio. Anybody familiar with Johnstown? Yes. Johnstown Johnny's. But we were near there. I was more in the Northridge area of that part of the world. Go Vikings. Yeah. This is a picture not of our farm. This is way too idyllic for our farm. This is a farm that's on the internet somewhere that I grabbed for you because it shows very nicely a beautiful fence. The farm that I grew up on also had fences, but not that nice. We had fences, back in the heyday, this farm was a dairy farm, so there was fences that cordoned off 5, 10, 15 acre lots so that everything on the farm had a spot. All right, so all of the cows would come over here, all the dairy cattle over here, the bull had to be over here. You know, like, not gonna mix those up unless there's time for that. And then back, like early on, they had sheep, they go over here. They had hogs, they go over here. They had chickens, they go everywhere. Chickens just, they go wherever they wanna go, but then there's corn in this one, and there's soybeans in this one, and there's hay in this one, and you don't combine those things. Everything had a spot. The fences clearly defined and delineated what was to go inside of the fence. And you wouldn't want something crossing over the fence because if your cows get out, you have to bring them back in somehow. And then you have to find where the fence was broken and then you mend the fence. Those were boundaries. They were barriers for the things that were inside there. Now, that was an idyllic view of that. By the time I started coming up, when I was, my grandpa had me on a tractor by myself crimping hay at 9 years old, okay? Dumb. But he did it. By that time, the fences started getting wider and wider because there was trees growing up in there. Trees and bramble bushes and multiflora rose and elderberries. The elderberries are still there. If you want to go get the elderberry, people in elderberries, they taste terrible, but they're good for you. So there are all of these things, and the fence rows weren't this wide anymore. In fact, they were like 10 feet wide on each side. It was 20 feet of field on each side because they just got overgrown. And Grandpa always said, one of these days we're going to restore those fences. We're going to clear out all those fence rows and we'll put them back up and will restore them to their glory days. Well, he retired from farming, and he no longer was putting all crops out, and we had a few cattle on hand. We didn't do a lot. And so he rented out the farm to a local farmer who promptly did what? Can you guess what they did with the fences? I didn't hear you, so you said, tore them down. They tore them down, wiped them out completely, took out all the fences. They didn't come out as well, but this is like the aerial view of that farm in Johnstown. And you can see now, on the right side, look at how long that is. That's just one giant field now. It used to be three or four different fields because we had it in fence rows. They tore out all those fences. They tore out all the boundaries. They made it so actually the fields are more productive now without fences because they gained 20 feet all the way around on all the fields. You can get actually more out of them without the fence than you could before. Now, let me try to draw us back to a spiritual kind of thing because nobody cares about farming. And I get that. And you don't care about fences and those sorts of things. We here at 1415 Londondale, the conglomerate of churches that we have among us have spent the last several weeks and months really building our fences. Identifying who we are, placing sort of parameters around what we do and trying to figure out who we are with staff and how the pastoral staff works together and our leadership team that we're trying to put together and the fences that are a vision statement that we have in a merger agreement, and the fences of a budget, and we put all these things together so we can kind of identify who we are. That's working on the in, because sometime soon we shall have a name, we shall have a merger agreement, we shall have a vision for who we are so we can go out, and once we go out, we can let people to come in. Not that we haven't let people come in already, but once we go out, we can't control who comes in. Not that we should be controlling, but isn't that what churches do? Isn't that what the faith has done? Isn't that what Christianity has done? Let's control who gets to play in the sandbox, who gets to be a part of this thing. We have these fences, we have these boundaries up of who's allowed to be a part of our faith. For Christians, the way we have set up a fence for people to be involved has generally been around belief and behave. Believe and behave. Believing, behaving. If you believe and behave, you can belong, right? And so what I want to suggest to us, what if belonging wasn't associated with behavior and belief? What if there was access points? What if belonging didn't depend on what you look like? What if we took down the fences that neatly and cleanly defines and divides everyone, and instead we created avenues for inclusion? What if we did that? The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Galatians. Galatians is all about a conflict that was happening in the early church. They were wrestling with this. Who can be a part of this thing? Because all of us are Jewish people to start with, and now there's some people who are not Jewish that are trying to come in. And so the conflict broke out because it seemed like you probably should become a Jew first, and then you could become a Jesus follower. But even in Jesus' time, there was very few non-Jewish or Gentile people, but there were some coming along for the journey. And then after Jesus, in the time of Paul, Paul's going out all over the world planting churches in non-Jewish spaces. And so there was this conflict, like, what do we do now? How do we include these people? Do they need to become Jews first in order to become Jesus followers? So that was the controversy. Shouldn't these people become Jewish first? Shouldn't these believers in Jesus adhere to the laws of the Jewish faith? Shouldn't they become part of our fenced-in portion of the scope of faith? So they wrestled with it. And I could see how this could be difficult for folks, can't you? I'm like, man, there's all these new people coming in. And doesn't that sound familiar to us? Like, oh, this is all weird. This is all strange. There's new things happening. If this doesn't fit my normal scope of faith, this isn't within the fence that I have created for faith. The Jewish folks had neatly defined fences that contained everything that was necessary for their faith. It defined everything. It kept everything organized. The fences kept everybody inside pure and holy. They kept out the people who were different, who could maybe potentially weaken our faith or make us a little bit unholy. Then comes along Jesus and Paul, and everything starts to open up. Suddenly all the fences were coming down, and it was a big fight. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 15, if you want to. Relationships were broken over this issue. But then Galatians is the letter that kind of follows up about that stuff. Paul wanted to tear down the fences, while others wanted to restore those fences to their former glory. Here's the passage we have from Galatians. It's an explanation of where Paul lands on this. It says, Galatians chapter 3, 23 through 29. I'm going to read through 25 at the moment. It says, before coming to this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And now this is the faith that Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So look at the fence that he defines here. It says, before faith in Jesus, we were held in custody under the law. Talk about a boundary, a fence. He's not talking about a field and a fence. He's talking about prison. We're bound up. We're under custody under the law. Then he says, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. Faith in Jesus unlocks that boundary. So a beautiful metaphor that is. Our faith in Jesus is what unlocks the door. It opens us up. It removes the fences. It takes away all the barriers. And he says, the law was the guardian. The fence of the law kept everything in, so that justification or righteousness would come to you by behaving and belonging. Behaving and believing, excuse me, that brought the belonging. So that's the before. And then he says, but now we don't need the fence. We're no longer under a guardian. Jesus came, removed the fences. Jesus didn't restore the fences. Jesus completed the need for fences. Jesus isn't the fence. Jesus is the gate. He says that himself in John 10:9. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in. They will go out and find pasture. Jesus is the access point. Jesus is the one who lets everybody in. Look what Paul says, verse 26. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. The audience was Jewish and Gentile. All of you are children of God. You don't have to live in the Jewish fence anymore. It's open to everybody. Verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So if you've been baptized in Christ, Paul says, you're part of the family. You're part of the children of God. Just believe and belong. Baptism is a very special designation that we give to people when they're coming into the community. We're going to do that next Sunday on August 4th. Baptism is a means of grace by which we show the world that we belong to the family, but it's not like a box you got to check in order to belong to the kingdom. This is something we do to belong to the family together. It's a representation of cleansing and this exterior thing that happens with the water, showing the cleansing that's happening inside spiritually in the interior. If you have any interest in being baptized, we'd love to talk with you. We would love nothing more than to just baptize all y'all, but I know y'all don't need it. But some of you do, maybe. And if you're ready for that, let us know. Maybe not next Sunday, but like in time, we will baptize you. The way we're going to do it next Sunday is an actual immersion. We're going to bring a tank in here. We're going to actually immerse people underwater. That physical, external visual of the water coming down and cleansing us and coming up to new life. It's an immersion into Christ. Now, also, Paul uses two immersion things in this verse. For all of you who are baptized, immersed in Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's another way of saying immersed yourself in Christ. Thankfully, you all chose to put on clothes today. Praise God, hallelujah. But when you did, you immersed yourself in the clothes that you're wearing. I immersed myself in this shirt that I have two shirts on, actually. I immersed myself in them. Now, the analogy, think of it, if you immerse yourself in the clothing of Christ, you're putting on the thing that looks like Christ. Have you immersed yourself in Jesus? And once you put on your clothes, you go to the mirror and you do a little fit check, right? Kind of a fit check to see if you're looking good and presentable enough to go to church, and some of you came anyway. but I chose violence today. We need to have a fit check every now and then to see if we are aligning ourselves with the character and qualities of Jesus. We've got to look and see. Are we clothing ourselves with Jesus? Now, Paul goes on in Galatians, taking down fences. Let's come back to fences that keep people out of the framework of faith. Here's verse 28 of Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He says you're already in. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. All right? He's trying to lay that out. He removes the barrier that one has to become Jewish in order to become a follower of Jesus. You don't need to live inside all of the Jewish fences to be a Jesus follower. You don't need to eat certain kinds of food. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to wash your hands in a certain way. You don't have to make sacrifices. You don't have to follow all the festivals like they used to. Gentiles, non-Jewish people, are included as well. You're welcome in the family, and there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. And then he says slave or free. Jesus removes the socioeconomic barriers that divide the wealthy from the poor. Jesus removes the oppression that occurs when there is a presumption that one human can own another human. Jesus elevates us all to the status of free. Jesus brings freedom to the wealthy and the marginalized. He breaks the bonds of slavery to elevate us to freedom. Jesus frees the one who's a slave to their addiction. He frees the one who's enslaved to drugs, alcohol, pornography, shopping, food, theft. Jesus saves even those who think they are not addicted to those things. He makes us all free. At Engage New York, we have a little saying, we're all recovering from something. We've all got something that we need freed from. We sang the song, Chain Breaker. Jesus is that chain breaker to remove us from slavery to freedom. He's removed the fence so that everyone can get in. And then he says, there's neither male nor female. There's an old Jewish prayer that a man would pray that he would thank God that he was not born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. Can you imagine? Jesus has come to eliminate the access barrier between male and female. There was a clear fence around in the temple in the Holy of Holies. Women were not allowed to go. They could not be a part of that. That distinction is gone. That fence is removed. The gate for access is wide open for all to enter, whether you are male or female, no matter your gender. And this is why the conversation around gender confuses me sometimes. The gate that Jesus has opened for us to access to have access to his family has removed the barrier of gender. If Jesus doesn't care about gender, then why should I? We may have our own opinions on the gender conversation, but in the end, we're talking about human lives and how those human lives are loved and given access to the community of faith and to the family of God. And Paul himself writes, there's neither male nor female. It doesn't exist. There's no distinction, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's unity in the diversity of the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter if you identify as Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you identify as slave or free. And it doesn't matter if you identify as male or female. Those fences, those parameters that were designed to keep people out have been removed so that we can all be unified in the diversity that we share together. Now, I know that people can signal a political message with what I've just said, so let me challenge you just a bit. If you have more in common with a non-believer on a political issue than you do with your brothers and sisters in Christ who may disagree with you on a political issue, then you have erected a dividing wall that Jesus died to eliminate. And I would challenge you to think about the gates that you are keeping for yourself rather than remembering that Jesus is the gate providing access to all, removing the barrier, because there's no barrier to you or anyone else for immersing yourself in Christ. Everyone can be a part of that. In fact, I think there may be a reason to repent if you know this and haven't done it. I challenge you that we need to repent for erecting our own fences. Where have you placed a fence or a barrier that prevents somebody from being part of the family of God? We have a responsibility and a call to action to remove the barriers that keep people from immersing themselves in Christ into the family of God. And I would encourage you to examine, what fences have I erected? What barriers have I placed? There's no more barriers. Jesus took them down. Where have you put them back up? Where have you put in a fence so that people can't come into your safe area? And where can you put in a gate and allow Jesus to open up your carefully crafted and safe field? I think if we need to repent, that's what we need to repent from, so that we can immerse ourselves in the character and love of Jesus and allow others to join in with no barriers, with no distinctions. It's a challenging message. When I read there's no distinction between these things, it bothers me a little bit because I like my fences. And I like the tidy things that I can keep in there, neat and clean, well-defined. Let's not interrupt the status quo. And then God brings us all here together. And it makes me rethink what church can look like and what the community of faith can look like. I challenge us to take down those fences and remove the boundaries because Jesus has already moved them and we all have access to immerse ourselves into the body of Christ. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, Mariah and Carrie are going to come up and have our interview for this morning. God, thank you that we can have this space where there's no boundaries. There's no barriers. We can come to you. It's not about how we behave or believe, but that we belong. We belong with you. May we immerse ourselves in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing these interviews over the last few weeks, and it's my privilege to introduce to you Mariah Carey.
He thinks he's funny. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you.
So in this whole process, I've had the pleasure of getting to know Carrie a little bit better. I met her a few years ago and have always enjoyed her snarky humor and mutual love of coffee and animals.
In fairness, mostly when we would talk, she would text me in panic because she needed a worship leader at church in the mall.
Yes.
And she's like, I need you to help me out, help find me somebody.
Yes.
So that's how our relationship started.
And it was usually Rich, so thank you, Rich. But yes, that was, you know, I had a need and Carrie helped me out. So you guys have already experienced Carrie through her leadership and her gifting with music. And today, though, we want to dig into a little bit of who Carrie is. Yes. And I'm going to go a moment off script. I know. But I observed you while Dave was preaching. Can you tell us what you were doing and what you're trained in?
I was signing for my friend, Nancy. So I have a degree in sign language. And so she's oral deaf. So I was signing for her to explain the sermon to her. So
yeah, but that is a new thing I had learned about Carrie recently, and I love it, like, of just her heart to be as inclusive as possible for people, to welcome them in so many different ways. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, have you grown up in this area? Where'd you graduate from? A little bit about
I did grow up in Newark and graduated from Newark. I was really involved in the band program in Newark and actually just recently co-founded a community band for Newark, and we just had our first performance, and there was over 100 new people there, all ages that came from different areas, and so that was really exciting. I'm married to my husband, Adam. We've been married for almost 22 years, and I have a 16-year-old daughter, Marie, and an almost 13-year-old son, George, and I have a dog named Daisy, and a cat named Luigi, and another cat named Luma, which we call Lulu. So everything in my house is Super Mario Brothers, because my son is autistic, and he loves Super Mario Brothers, and so that's just everything in our house is Super Mario Brothers. I did it hoping that he would like the animals more. It did not work. Did not work. He could care less. So, yeah. So that's where I'm at. Aside from working part-time for Engage, or whatever the church is called now, Engage and now this church, I actually have a full-time job as well. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I work for a graduate school that's based out of Arizona, and it's a remote job that I do online. I do admissions for them, and it's for behavioral health, so I love doing that as well. And I travel quite a bit and sing at different churches. Rich and I, in the community, kind of a big deal. Maybe you've heard of us. But I'm always out there doing something.
Now, I kind of love getting to know those fun facts about people that you don't know, that when you play those really obnoxious games like Two Truths and a Lie, that you suddenly have insight into somebody that you wouldn't have imagined to know about them. And it's always interesting to hear how people, you know, what kind of skills and background they have. And then sometimes you find out how they got led to it, of, you know, sometimes a barrier, as Dave was talking about, can teach us a lot about who we are and the communities we've been a part of. And I'm just curious for you, you know, in the metaphor of a fence or a barrier, where have you experienced fences in your own journey of faith?
So part of my ministry is, for the past 15 or so years, I've worked as a worship leader, as well as just gone out to different churches. That's really what my calling is, to go to different churches and share those gifts and abilities. And so I've had the opportunity and blessing to see lots of different denominations and churches and sizes and different kinds of people. And really what I've seen is a couple things. One is that kind of that fence that's up that's saying, you know, here's a community, we welcome you into this community, we love you and we welcome you, and that's really beautiful to see. But I've also seen some that look from the outside like they're very welcoming and wonderful and what a great community. But once you get in, the door kind of shuts behind you, and then those people are like, okay, now we need you to change. Now we need you to fit our mold. Welcome, but guess what? Now everything needs to change about you. And so that can just be so frustrating to see new believers or new people to the church that are really looking for the love of Christ, and what they're experiencing is division and judgment. And so that's really been kind of what I've seen.
So you've seen kind of the controlling side of church. Shocking. But no, I like the way you kind of described that, of like, you know, we welcome people in and we hope that God's love changes them. But so often people come into church and it seems very loving and welcoming, and once they get there, they learn, this is the dress code, this is how we talk, you know, this is, you know, and it's not a true heart change, it's just, here's your uniform, put on your smile, here's your name tag. Not that name tags are bad, but you feel like now you're working for the corporation, then you are part of a church community, which should be loving and gather, you know, reflecting the kindness of Christ. But, you know, so for you, having experienced some of that, what is it for you to know that Jesus is the gate?
Well, I think I said this in the last service too. I think it's kind of funny when you think about how Jesus talked to his disciples into the world, where he's like, I'm a gate, I'm a door, I'm a shepherd, I'm a lamb, I'm the way, I'm the light. Like, okay, like, I think he's just like, I'm going to tell you again in a new way, the same thing I'm saying and all these things, which is, there is one way, and that is Jesus. And he is waiting and available. And so to kind of picture Jesus as a gate that's standing open, and it's just waiting, but you really have to make that choice to walk through that gate. And so I think that's so true when we pray about things and we're like, Lord, make this happen for me. I really want this to happen. And sometimes he does, but he's not going to do it all for you. You're going to sometimes have to meet him. And I think that's really what he's calling us to do in that kind of picture, is he wants us to enter into his presence. He wants us to commune together in the love of Christ and experience his presence. But you really have to make that choice to make that step and to walk through that gate.
Well, how have you seen that Jesus gate at work in this effort of three churches coming together?
I think overall, it's from what I've seen, I've just seen really some positive things. I think it's really amazing to be a part of something where you can really physically see God's hand doing something. And that's so evident here, as you see these three churches that have nothing to do with each other, but he's bringing us all here together. And why? Like, what is he going to do? Something. He's going to do something. He's going to do something amazing. And he's calling us all here. He's getting us ready to do something. And that's really special, to be a part of something where you can see God's hand really moving. And as for the people here, I've just experienced love and joy and just, you've seen so much effort put into trying to make things work and trying to meet people where they are. I think as a worship leader, it's a little stressful to come into a church where I don't know what songs you know. I don't know what your background is. I don't know if you've listened to the same songs that I do. So I always want to make sure people are feeling like their needs are being met and they're able to worship. But overall, I just really experienced positive things and love and acceptance.
And so have we, through you. So I have just deeply appreciated getting to know Carrie more and to see how God moves in and through you. And so I think Dave would like to pray over us as we prepare to kind of conclude our service, but let's take a few moments and, sorry, did I?
No, that's fine. Okay. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for Carrie and the ministry she provides with us and for us and the leadership that she has for worship of you. We thank you that through her we see a welcome, an openness, and we can all join in worship together, even though we're still learning about each other. We're learning about how we relate. And so, God, we ask that you just continue to guide her and help us to follow her leadership into worship. And we thank you for all of the ways in which you are working to include us and tearing down those fences and all those barriers so that we can come through the gate that is Jesus. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.